The learning should be a schuz for refuah shlema for chav and neshama, v'saviva shoshana b'refuah shlema b'sar shar chol Yisrael. Panosim of the day b'schuz also tana Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and also with gratitude for the panosim for the year, and also for the Rachmani family and Rabin Shirim Dach Avinoam. I think this will be the leshiv for this man. And then we'll continue after Yantiv. What you received last night on the phone should be, it's a couple of pages from a Tzadok HaKoyen and the Mahshav HaSchoritz, which you're going to get to. We'll maybe just be able to start anyway a little bit. We'll get to in a few minutes. We ended the last shiur with hopefully a better understanding of why is it that this midah of Yesod, the midah of Yosef HaTzadik, why is it referred to throughout Tanakh? It's a code word, two letters, kol, chof lamed. Kol, everything. Ki kol b'shamayim uvaretz. Chaf lamed kol, everything. And we're trying to understand what is the klolius of this midah. We don't see such a thing, not by chesed, not by gvur, not tiferes, not even when it comes to the midas of chach, mabina das, of chabad. When it comes to the midah of yesod, kol. Malchus has in it the letters kol. That's only because it receives from Yisod. Malchus does also have that koch, bringing everything together. But the midah of kol is ki kol b'shamayim v'aretz, is the midah of Yisod. And the opening to understanding this that we've been using is the tremendous chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah in the words of Shlomo Melech Mishlei, ish lefi mahalolo. But a person is machshiv. That's who the person is. That's how we define the essence of a person. What is it that you are machshiv? What's most important to you? Now, most healthy people would respond to that. There are a million answers to that. If one person, it's family. Another person, it's food. Whatever it is. But the general expected response when we get past a little bit of the small things would be life itself. Well, there are some people that don't value their lives, but life itself is certainly chashuv, and it's kol. Because without life, there's nothing. So life itself is the most chashuv. And therefore, a person who is emotionally well is machshiv life more than anything. Machshiv life. And we understand, and that's what we ended with it last time, that this inyan of having children, k'dusha sabris, of course, is where life comes from. That's how life is produced. That's how Hashem made us. So the koach of life is the midah of Yesod. But here's where it gets tricky. And this is where all the problems begin with the inyan of Shmiras HaBris. Remember at the end, 2 weeks ago, what I was saying was that one of the unfortunate things about this whole perception of Bris and Kedushas HaBris and midah of Yesod is that if you stam ask any guy, what do you want to talk about, Shemir Sabris, or Kedusha Sabris, the feeling, of shame and guilt and being anxious, after all of that, there's this feeling like, this is about what not to do with my life. This is a negative thing. Shemir Sabris, guarding the bris. Oh, you want me to be like Yosef, you want me to like run away? So it's all about running away, not running towards. And it's got a lot of bad publicity. There's no question. Kedushas HaBris has gotten terrible publicity. And it's not the kind of thing that you want to publicize b'chlal, even, you know, to talk about it publicly is a chiddush, that we've been discussing this together the past couple of years. I told you, a guy from a very from neighborhood said, wow, you must be having some big problems with me if you're discussing this. That's what he said. It was a horror. I didn't hear it directly from him. Somebody told me that there was a guy that said this from a very nice, from neighborhood. Like, what's going on in Woodmere? But it's the same thing that's going on in your place. It's just we're trying to be honest and talk about it. That's the only chilek. It's the same thing from the beginning of time. We're just talking about it. Because we can't just risk anymore not talking about it, and that's all. We're talking about it. And within the next 6 months or a year, you're going to be having stuff like that in your neighborhood too. It's just a matter of time. We have to talk about it. Now, so this negative association with Kedushas HaBris is a terrible, terrible misunderstanding. And this is where it gets tricky. The most important thing in life is to be alive. But there are many, many, many alternative areas of life where different people feel that this is my life. Besides just waking up in the morning and breathing. But all of those things that we would say in the vernacular, oh, this is a machaya. Every single person here has a different, it could be a different machaya. For this person, it's going to take a nap this afternoon. Another person, it's going to a schwitz or something. For somebody, it's having something to eat. For another person, it's a blad gemara. For another person, it's spending some time with a kid or with a grandchild. A machaya. Where a person has something in his life, and he's machshivit with the chshivas of life itself, gets tricky. One of the ways to test yourself with this, and it was an unbelievable spectacle of Kedusha that took place last week, the Levaya of the Tzaddik, of the Gadol Hador. It's a merdic thing. It was that close to 1 million people went to that, and then if the women would have been able to all go, and if it was possible to move and to get around, there's no question in my mind that there would have been millions of people there. I mean, many that are not even religious. There'd be millions of people that were there. The and I don't use this word liberally the way that it's used nowadays, the awesomeness of that event is because it means that there are millions of people, who to have this is a machaya, that's a machaya, all kinds of machayas. But when it comes down to it, to see an ish haneshama as the most chashuv of a person in the Jewish people, an ish haneshama, somebody who never went anywhere, never did anything, never even gave shiur, except he gave for the Chazon Ish outside every year, and for his father. He gave for the yard side, I think, just a few minutes a shiur. He was a yeshiva bachur his whole life. A Carl Junger man, a yeshiva bachur his whole life. Never asked for anything. Never told jokes. Never was promoting himself. Never had a website. Never was out there. You know, never just learned and people came to him and he said, "How could I help you?" You know. And gave brachas. That was it. Pgam habris is described in a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun Hei, Kapitel Nun Hei, pasuk Chaf Aleph, with these words. It's talking about the brothers. According to Chazal, it's talking about the brothers of Yosef. It says, "Sholach Yodov Bishlomov Chilel Briso." They attacked or they sent their hands against the perfect one, the holy one, and by doing so, chilel briso, they were machalel the bris. Those are strong words about Yosef's brothers. I mean, Dovid HaMelech doesn't say it's Yosef's brothers, but Chazal hold it as talking about Yosef's brothers. Sholach yada bishlamov chilel briso. That means that the brothers on their level were not masig. The Shvatim, we're not masik. So there's not our way of thinking, but Chazal are telling us that the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik on their Madrega were Pregim Bibris. Because not only did they not, not only was it not that they were not Mechabed the Tzadik, who was the Tzadik Yisod Olam, the Midah of Kol, not only were they not Machshev him more than anything in life, They threw him into a pit, and they sold him as a slave. And that's called chilul habris. Chazal say that pasuk is talking about Yosef's brothers. They were mechallel the bris. They were poigim in the bris. They meet that on their madrega. On their madrega, they failed to understand the significance of Yosef, of the tzaddik of the generation. They didn't recognize, however that happened, we don't know, but they failed to recognize that. And not only were that, they were not machshiv him as the nezer, as the crown of the family. they didn't pick up on his Kedusha. They didn't, on their level, they should have. Again, we're not judging them, but on their level, they didn't understand that he was the crowning glory of the family because of his Nikius, because of how pure and clean he was in this Midah, which they could not equal him in that Midah. He was like his father in that way. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, and they did not, they were not machshev that. They were machshev other things, each shevet with its own chashivas. And they were machshev very important things in life. But they were not machshev Yosef at Tzadik. And as a result of that, the koch of Yesod, the koch of Yosef at Tzadik, was sent into Mitzrayim. Chilel Brisa. Chilel Brisa. Because when we say in benching, we say, the words that we say in benching, Vabrischa shechasamto bivsareinu, Rabbi Shalom, you sealed our flesh with the chesima of bismila. And then we say it a second later, Al chayim chein v'chesed shechonantanu. Here are the words we've been saying our whole lives. Al brischa shechasamto bivsareinu. And what does that bris mean? Chayim chein v'chesed shechonantanu. Here Yosef is in it. It's all Yosef. Chaim, Chayim, Chesed. It's all Yosef HaTzadik. Shechanan Tano. Chaim, Chayim, V'Chesed, Shechanan Tano. That means that any time a Jew takes something in his life that's a Mechaya, like making a lot of money, that's a very popular one. Making a lot of money. It's a Mechaya. He takes that, and in that Mechaya of his. In that Mechaya of his, he's machshev that Mechaya to such a degree that he sees this as his entire chiyus. He sees this not just as it's nice, it's good, but he sees this as something which is life itself. Is life itself. Now we're going to learn, Mitchum, over the coming weeks, that on the deepest level of a Jew, that's not possible. Even the richest or cheapest, it's not possible. That's called Shemir Shabbos. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. But in a person's mind, in a person's head, there was something that Esav wanted, and without it, he said, "Hi ne'anochi holech lomus." If you feel that way about your team losing the pennant, if you feel that way about losing every penny in your business falling apart, if you feel that way about losing, God forbid, not comparing, your wife or your kid, that I'm done. I have no reason to live. If you feel that way, that's Pagam HaBris. That's Pagam HaBris. You're being Pagam Yosef HaTzadik. Because the Kedusha of the Bris, and here's where we're talking about the bad publicity that it's all negative, the Kedusha of the Bris is Yiddishkeit is one's chiz. The Baruch Shalom is my chiz. Nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can take that away from me. Not a Nazi, not a Yishmaeli. Nobody can take that away from me. The etzem hachiyus of who I am is indestructible, and no one can take that away from me. I could give that up, chas v'shalom, but no one can take that away from me, who I am. The etzem of who I am, nobody can take away from me. Vayivas esav is habachayra, v'gam habris. The whole inyan of vayivas esav is habachayra means that he was mevazel, b'chayra doesn't mean just you're born first. It means, what is first in your life? What's the priority of your life? What's first in your life? What's most important? When it comes down to it, chalila, even a wife, a child, a friend, a parent, alachas kama v'kame, lahavdol elf alfei havdolos, you lost every penny, chas v'shalom, you lost all your money, they took away your house. I told you once, I saw in a safe such a thing that the Germans were having some fun. I don't remember which camp it was in. And they took this Gerach Hasid. They were making fun of him. And they decided, they took him and they threw him into a pit that was filled with chemicals, with lime, to burn, which is the most horrible torture, to burn him alive. They threw him in. And it was Sukkot. The Germans always like to have special, you know, Yontif. When it was Yontif, they like to have more fun. And they threw this, and the other people that were there, they couldn't look at this. They threw this. He was a young man. They threw this chassid into the, and it's not that you die right away. It's torture. It takes a few minutes. It's like mamish, like Rabbi Akiva, what they did. And it was Sukkot, and there was a survivor that said, I saw this with my own eyes, that this young man screamed out, Rabbi Shalom, Hant is Sukkot. It's Sukkot. I didn't have a lulav for you. My spine is being burned. My spine is a lulav. My heart is set on fire. I didn't have an esrig. My eyes are being burned. I don't have hadassim. I don't have a mouth. It's being burned. These are my aravas. And then he screamed out that you, they can't take away from me. They took away my wife. They took away my kid. They took away my parents. They took away everything. But you, they can't take away from me. It's Sogas Achayim of Yosef HaTzadik. I mean, this is what Kiddush Hashem means. And there were people who were not Ger Chassidim, that they didn't have such a thing. They don't know. They didn't know that the lulav was the spine. But they gave up. But the Jews, Shomer Habris, Nitre Habris, Vayivas Esav es Habachira, means that by an Esav de Kemensh, Chaye Shah, that which is the Machaya, whether it's the Shvitz or his Parnasa, whether it's his team or his friends or his food. Chai Yeshua becomes the person's life. When that becomes the person's life, that's called your machshiv that ad kidei kach, that it's your life. It means if you make this decision, let's say, to ignore your wife and kids because of not just being able to support them, but being able to support all your habits, whatever your habits are. It could be just be your obsession with being wealthy. And your mafkir, your wife and your kids, it's a pekam abris. It's a madrega of Pagam HaBris. Because what are you machshiv? You're machshiv chai shah. Your wife and your kids are a bechin of chai olam. That's your whole nitzchis is your family. Of what you're in this world for, is that the Baruch Shalom brought us into the world to bring up these neshamas and to take care of our wives and our kids. And you're machshiv, what are you machshiv more than your wife and your kids? It's a Pagam HaBris. It's not just that you're not the best husband or the best father. Pagim bris. Because your whole list of priorities is completely skewed. It's completely off. When chaye shah, when having fun, or having stuff, or enjoying a certain pleasure, that's all chaye shah. Even if it's the pleasure of the nicer house and so on, then the question is, okay, it says in Mishlei, Ish Lefi Mahalalo, the person is according to what he's machshiv. You're machshiv chayisha instead of being machshiv chayolam. It's an hour of fun is more important to you than an hour of learning. These are the choices that we make. It doesn't mean you can't have an hour of fun. You see, that's where the negative stuff comes in. The Baruch Shalom wants Jews to have a good time. And that doesn't mean you're not machshiv the Baruch Shalom. It doesn't mean you're not machshiv learning. When a million people went to Reb Chaim Zalvaya, even though they're of all different backgrounds, and the millions that didn't go, but and what if they would have been open to Chutz Laaretz, everybody? What if... There would be millions and millions and millions of people. If we would be able to take a bus from New York and in 45 minutes be in Bnei Brak. So everybody would have, all of us would have been there. And if it would have been a half hour from London, or a half hour from Paris, or a half hour from, from Antwerp. Everybody would have been there. Every Jew in the world would have been there. Why? Because at the end of the day, Jews are Shomrei HaBris. That means that even though I'm silly and I get mixed up and my priorities are all messed up and I make wrong choices, but at the end of the day, I see this person as being my hero. Reb Chaim Kanevsky is my hero. That's my hero. Not the guy that won the decathlon. Not the guy that won the MVP or the guy that pitched the World Series. It's all fun. It's all chayisha. I enjoy that stuff. It's chayisha. But chayi olam nota b'sochein. Chayi olam. The person that I most machshiv is somebody that's able to mezgaber in his yetzar, and not someone who gives in to his yetzar. Look who Esav is mechaber. That's why I mentioned yesterday, even though it hurts to say on Shabbos, or stop even during the week that I mentioned what was going on, that somebody was telling me what happened in Hollywood with this academy. Somebody's machshiv these people. No. It could be that these people are good at what they do. But if somebody's a good actor, besides that, you mechabit someone that's a good Baal Malacha, I mechabit someone that's a good carpenter. If someone's a good football player, if someone's a good actor, I'm a chabad the malacha. He's a Baal Malacha. And that's a malacha, and if he's good at it, I'm a chabad the Baal Malacha. But are you machshiv him? Like, why would anybody be interested in the political views of Hollywood actors? In other words, you're saying that my definition of life, let's say whether or not men should be men and women should be women, or whether men, you know, 5-year-olds should be taught this stuff, and they're making whole tumult now. I mean, I hope this is accurate because I get all of my news from my daughter Shani. So it's a little bit scary. Like, if you, that's my source. I have my briefing every day. So I said, Shani, just bring me up to date. I need to be relevant. And Shani gives me my briefing every day. It's around 10-15 minutes. If she thinks it's very important for me to see something, she knows certain surahs I don't want to see, but if it's a tzara that's a tzura, that's a tzara tzura. That's that same thing. To look at, but that's my, I have my briefing. And so, you know, I don't know, that's, I trust that it's accurate, and she's telling me that, you know, what's going on in the world. Why would people, so there's this now, so in Florida, they have over there a chash of a governor. Well, it sounds like a normala mensch, which is not popular these days. And what was read to me was the actual law that they trying to pass, or they're passing over there, about education with the schools. And I heard the exact lashon of the law. I don't know. It didn't sound controversial at all to me. It sounds like 5-year-old children should not be exposed to Mitzrayim. I don't know. That's what it sounds like. It sounded to me like any healthy, normal Jew, Lahavdil, non-Jew should be very, very happy that there's such a law. They should make it not just till the year 7 or 8. They should make it to their 20 or whatever. I don't know. And this is not popular, this law. Who is it not popular by? And those people who it's not popular by, there are others who are machshiv their opinions ki'ilu. It has the chshivas of life itself, because after all, you're defining your child's life. This is a question of who your kid is. Whether your kid at the age of five starts to think, maybe I should have been born a girl, maybe I should have been born a boy, maybe I should be a taruvis of a boy and a girl. So that's life itself. That's the metzias of who a person is. And how do you decide how to weigh in on this decision of life itself? By somebody who's an actor or somebody who's a football player. That's who, you know, is your machshiv of that opinion. Or the pachad that right now, I got also a couple of interesting tidbits about what the President of the United States has been saying, like about this business that's going on with Putin and how he's handling the situation. And your machshiv, I'm sorry to say, seems to be a person on the who's on the verge of senility, or already a little bit in the parish of senility. He's a nice guy. I don't want to suffer, but like, I don't like the thought that this guy is making decisions about what's happening to my life or to our lives and to like the rest of the world. Because he says stuff that's weird. He says strange things. He's dealing with a Weltrussia and a dictator, and he just comes out with something to say, well, you know, like the regime is, we're gonna have to take him down. And the guy's finally like talking about stopping the Milchama, right? So now he's supposed to talk about like politics and how to handle that. And all of a sudden he says, nah, he's a bad guy, he's gotta go. So any child knows you don't do that. You gotta try not work with the Russia, right? Because people are getting bombed and killed. And the President of the United States is sitting there and he says, he's gotta go. And then the rest of the week, all the people in the White House are figuring out, no, he has to leave Ukraine. That's what he was saying. He doesn't live in Ukraine. He lives in Moscow. What do you mean he has to leave Ukraine? He wasn't saying that. He said it a few times that this guy's got to go. All of a sudden he became like this tough guy. He's got to go. And now the whole White House and all the press secretaries, they're feeling like, whoa, what a mess. You know how they're talking behind those? He said, what an idiot. What did he do? But we could talk about this and we could laugh. But Lamaisa, there are people whose lives, there are people getting killed all over the place. He's bombing these people. They're getting killed all over the place. And Amcha Beis Yisrael is suffering terribly also. Because he's the President of the United States. So the machshev of that person, and the machshev of his opinions. I don't know how many people machshev is. but the people claim to be machshev what he says. And it's sad because I grew up being taught that we should be machshev the President of the United States. And I have that as part of my upbringing and education, to be machshev the President of the United States. But there's something wrong. So whenever that decision is made, and it's very subtle, whenever a person decides that kol hashkafat hachayim sheli talui badam zeh, my entire definition of life and what's important depends upon what not Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, said. Not Yibodel Ben Chaim L'Chaim, the living tzaddikim say. Not the Anshei Neshama. Not the people who put the Neshama. They understand that the Neshama is Chai Olam. Chai Olam, not Abba Sechem, is talking about the Neshama. It's not talking about the Shvitz. It's not talking about Parnasa. It's not even talking about your family. Chai Olam means the Bari Olam himself, the Creator himself, is the most important thing to you in your life. And therefore, when it comes down to it, sometimes you have to give up, even your life for that. Yehareg v'al-yaver. There is such a thing. To give up one's life. Even before coming on to this whole tzaddik, this Geruch Hasid in the concentration camp. Made himself into an Abraminim. Or they made him into an Abraminim. Oh, and I forgot the last thing, by the way. Because what about the Schach? He wanted to be in the Sukkah too, right? Because it was Sukkahs. So he screamed out that the cloud that was coming from the crematoria, that they said they're going to throw me into the fire afterwards, my body, that cloud is the Anani HaKovet. He said, that's the Schach. I forgot that. That's what he said. That's the Schach. A Sukkah. So when it says by the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, such a strong lashon, that it says that David Melech says, Sholach Yodah B'Shlomov Chilel Briso. Chilel Briso means that on your Madrega, you fail to understand that young man, your brother, is the embodiment of life itself. Of life itself. Of Chaim Nitzchiyim. And you put your anger on their level, your jealousy, again, whatever that was. That inyan that you had with him, you were machshev that as something which is greater than tzadik yisod olam. So the asei tov of shmiras habris, of kedushas habris, the asei tov is really having a tremendous gishmak from your davening. In other words, identifying your chai olam as chai olam. See, the problem is, if you if the ball game is Chaya Olam and davening is Chaya Shah, then you get upset if the davening is taking long because you want to get back to the game. Because there's Chaya Olam and there's Chaya Shah. Your davening is, you see davening as being your, something you have to do, but it's not your chiyas. You're not machshev that it's your chiyas. But you see the ball game as your chiyas. And every time you make these decisions, when you see your Yiddishkeit as being a mechaya, not just that it's a mechaya among many mechayas, but that it defines chayim, your chayim nitzchim of who you are. Your very existence is defined by that. So then, the positive side of Shmiras HaBris is a person who's Shema HaBris, his davening is a different davening. His learning is a different learning. His marriage is a different marriage. His mitzvahs are different mitzvahs. Everything that he does in the world of Kedusha is filled with energy, with vitality, with life. Not the way that it is everybody walking around, coming to shul 40 minutes late, not going at all. And when it comes to mitzvah, there's a big pain in the neck. And when it comes to everything of Kedusha, because Kedusha lost its chiyas. Because you could say the words every night, Ki hem chayenu v'arech yameinu, but if it's not really your life, so then you're just waiting to get done with Maariv and get back to the show. Because the show is your life. So when you're not in this parasha of Yosef HaTzadik, Shmiras HaBris is the most painful, annoying, heavy, hard thing. But when you're in the sugya of Chai Olam Notavos Ocheinu, so then that which you value most and that which is you see as being your life is filled with excitement and with pleasure and with fun. And Hashem Yisbarach didn't take away from us being able to have the good food and being able to have relationships and so on. He didn't take that away from us. He didn't say that in order to daven with the geshmak, you have to live in a monastery. He didn't give us such a thing. They made up such a thing. That's not called Shmiras HaBris. That's why they're the biggest point we have is to make such a thing in a religion that if you want to be holy, they made us for a thing that Shmiras HaBris on the highest madrega Shmiras HaBris means not to have any relations with anybody, not to get married. That's why they made such a thing. That's not called Shmiras HaBris. They're the biggest point we have is, the biggest pagam HaBris comes from that. They had to make a whole new thing. Kilo, the Isa Ish was born that even his parents never had an Indian. So how did he come to the world, Yashka? A strange mice. What kind of strange mice? There's this thing that's called the Holy Ghost. How does that work? I never saw that in my biology book. It's a miracle how he came to the world. No. A person comes to the world between a husband and a wife in a way of Kedusha and Tahar, where there's love, and it's a way of serving Hashem, where there was a bracha that was made under the chuppah. On a cup of wine, and he gave her a ring and said, "Arem kudesh v'tarem kudesh asli with the bazuk of the smoshi Yisrael." It's kedushas habris, kedushas hayisai. A husband and wife is yisai than malchus. A husband and wife is kedushas habris, kedushas hayisai is a husband and wife. There's nothing that's holier in this world. So closest you can get to chayi oilim in chayi shah is the yichud of a husband and wife. And instead, they made it in the religion that if you're really a Kaddish, you don't get married. Because they're not massing that Kedushas HaBris is life itself. They see it as death, and there are some people, the elite of the population, have to live a living death. If you want to serve God, you have to live a living death. The sad thing is that a typical bocha growing up thinks that that's what it means being a frum Jew also. That if you want to really be frum, it's living death. That's what it is. Like a galach, like a priest or a nun. Living death. Which I'm sure people, anyway, tell them, anyway, most of them are not keeping that. They don't keep that, and forget, all kinds of crazy things came out of it. But the perception of it being living death is you're giving up life for God. That's not what it means to be a Shem Habris. It means living the deepest life to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aye, there is such a thing. There are times, if you're Harik Lagavra, that a person gives up life. It means living and breathing. It doesn't mean spending 50, 80 years of your life being dead. It means that there are those rare moments in time where Jews had to give up and die al Kiddush Hashem, and then they went to Chai Olam Haba. But it doesn't mean a living death. Being a yeshiva bacher is not living death. Learning a Blat Gemara is being alive. If you identify it as life. If you don't identify it as life, then it's torture. There was a mice, what was his name? There was a big Talmud Chacham, a huge Talmud Chacham that was learning in the old Mir Yeshiva in Europe. His name was Rabbi Yosef Liss. Rabbi Yosef, I think he was killed by Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Yosef Liss. He was a big, big, big Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik of a yid. So I read someplace that he was in the Beis HaMedrash with a couple of the chevra they were learning, and a balagola. There was a balagola in a shlepper over there in the town, and this balagola came running in, and he said I need a gemara, and he said give me one of the mesachtes. But they were very excited. The balagola wants to learn. So the guys were very excited, and they gave him the head of gemara. They said, which mesachtes? Give me a gemara. So they gave him a gemara, and he said, no, I want the over there from the dad on the shelf, a big gemara. So they said, this is great, he wants a big gemara. So they gave him this huge gemara that they had, and he grabbed the gemara, and he ran outside and started clapping the horse. He didn't have his whip, and he needed a big gemara. He wanted to give a big knack to the... So they saw him out the window giving a knack to the fed with the gemara. And he came back and he said, Shkoyach, Shkoyach, and he gave back the Gemara. He didn't learn, he just gave back Shkoyach. So this Rabbi Yosef said, what we learned from this Maisa, there are a couple of things you can learn from this Maisa, but one of the things that we learned from this Maisa is they have to be careful that you should only learn with the Gemara and not beat other people up with the Gemara. I think it was a pretty modern insight, not to beat somebody up with the Gemara, but to learn with the Gemara, to enjoy the Gemara. Not to hurt with the Gemara, to enjoy the Gemara, to bring joy with the Gemara. When a person is in that parasha, when a person is in that place of being an ish neshama, and chai olam is what he values as life, that's why he'll take off the whole middle of Eretz Yisrael was closed because of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And I read someplace that even the secular, I'm sure there are some exceptions, but even the biggest secular politicians and the ones who are always making trouble with Shabbos and everything, still. It was the Jewish people stood back and said, okay, he's different. Why? Why don't they say, he's different. He sits on a bench his whole life, doesn't never work a day in his life, I have to support the guy. They didn't say that. They said, oh, no. My mother-in-law, Allah Shalom, she was very much that a person should work. That everybody should work and earn a living. And so when my daughter, when the girls were getting engaged, she would sit them down always and give this talk. Like, you make sure that he's not one of these guys that sits around all day. She was giving like these talks. And I would always prepare them and say, listen, Bob, she's great, Bobby. But like her views are a little bit extreme and stuff like that. You got to be... a grain of salt, stuff. She's fantastic. So she was once giving a lecture to one of the girls about how you make sure that he's going to take care of you and none of this business with sitting on a bench his whole life. So I said to this daughter, I said, ask her, what if they say that he's like the next to Moshe Feinstein? So I said, try that with Bobby. So she did. So Bubi was giving a whole talk, And she said, "But what if they're saying about him that he has it in him? He could be the next Moshe." So she says, "No, I'm not talking about Moshe Feinstein. No, that's something else. I'm not talking about Moshe Feinstein. Like, in other words, she's ready to write a check. You understand? If he's with Moshe Feinstein, I'll take care of it. It's beautiful." She would never say that about an actor or an actress or a ball player. None of us would. And the whole Jewish people said, if you're talking about Chaim Kanevsky, I'm okay with that. Even all the Sunni Haddad, all the politicians, all the broadcasters said, because they're saying that, listen, I got a lot of stuff that I call my life a Mechaya, but the Mechaya of the Jewish people is the Tzaddik. It's an amazing thing. And it was like that when Rabbi Avadi Yosef died. All the Svardim Shechever, not everybody, but not just the Svardim, but especially the Svardim. You get some of these guys, they're wild people. But who's the biggest person in their life? That I told you, and I'll end with this, because one of the funniest things that happened was many years ago. I was in Machne Yehuda, and I heard this said over. I saw this myself. This is a funny thing that happened. I was in Machne Yehuda, and there were a couple of seminary girls that they wanted to buy some gavinim or some botnim over there, but they were looking for the heksher. The girls, you know, they were looking for the guy's heksher. The guy didn't have a yarmulke, and they're looking for the heksher. And they asked him, "Yesh lecha tu'uda?" You know. So the guy, he points up. He has over there a picture of the Baba Sali and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He points to the pictures he has over there in Rabbi Avadia. He points up to the pictures and he says, "Then Rama Shiyeshtikan." So I was over there. It was a true story because I heard this that happened. But I was standing there, and the girl said, "Are we allowed to eat here?" They didn't know me. They were just standing there. So a firm guy standing there, and they asked me. So I said to the guy, "Listen, if the Baba Sali was selling the garinim and your picture was on top, then I would tell the girls to buy over here. The problem is, you're selling the garinim. The Baba Sali's picture is over here. But there's something still beautiful about it. I told the girls, don't go. You can't buy this guy's stuff. But there's something beautiful about it. This guy, with all of his craziness, he's got the Baba Sali hanging on the wall. He sees the Baba Sali as being the ultimate Jew. The ultimate human being to him is the Baba Sali. And that's why at the end of the day, he's going to have a tikkun this year. I mean, I'm sure he's fine. He does mitzvahs, whatever he is. He'll have a tikkun because he's a Shem Habris. He's probably not Shem Habris in his life, what he does. But he'll have a tikkun because be'etzim he's a Shem Habris. That's why in the end, every Jew, la'idach min anidach, will have a tikkun. Because he also is a Shem Habris. He just got mixed up along the way. But he's a Shem Habris. In Pnimis, he's a Shem Habris. How do we get this feeling of a chias from being on the wall to being down here? That's the simcha of Shemir Habris. That's Kedusha Habris. And we'll continue talking about that after this month.